Good evening. Welcome. So this is a wonderful experiment, and I thank you for joining. I guess my first question is, how many of you actually have seen this book, The Power of Moments? So what did you think?
I thought it was good.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, very good.
So it's written by these two brothers, Chip Heath and Dan Heath. I believe they're brothers. One is a professor at Stanford Graduate School of Business, and the other one is a senior fellow at Duke's Case Center. And they wrote a book called The Power of Moments. And when I came across this book, someone shared it with me, it dawned on me that there is so much depth and so much thought-provoking material here to reflect on that it would be certainly worthwhile to have a Torah book discussion. So I thank you for joining us for this experiment. And the book is called The Power of Moments, Why Certain Experiences Have Extraordinary Impact. And so what we're we're thinking about, extraordinary impact. So what we're thinking about tonight is, what does this mean? Beautiful, thank you so much. Now we're talking. What does it mean that something has the power of moment? And that's what they talk about in terms of creating a memory that is lasting and that carries forth. And how do you create those moments? And that's really the crux of the book, is how to create these kinds of lasting moments. What were some highlights that you enjoyed and appreciated?
Because I'm all about that.
Okay, let me hear.
Moments.
Yes.
Just this evening. Well, I had several moments in your share this morning.
Okay, good.
That were really meaningful to me. But rather than boring everybody, I'll use a grandchild moment. Because we're never bored by our grandchildren. My grandson, Jacob,
yes,
unfortunately has a planter's wart on his foot.
Okay.
Anyway, make a long story short, Jamie and I tried to do everything.
Okay.
Carl was going to a podiatrist. So he calls me today. And the whole conversation is one of those moments.
You know what I was getting at?
Because he's talking because I'm a grandmother, I'm wise, and he wants my opinion.
Oh.
What do I think? And, you know, he's frustrated.
Awesome.
He's a little nervous about that. He's a twin. And I'm thinking, because I'm reading this, that you're this little boy. I hope I had some impact that caused him to make.
Well, I'm sure he did.
On this particular day, I did nothing to create
right.
The moment. The moment fell into my life.
Right. So yes. So some of the things he talks about are how sometimes moments do just fall into our lap. However, he suggests there are times and ways to create moments. So maybe my first observation would be that moments are very valuable. The Talmud tells us a story in Maseches Avodah Zarah about a man who lived, let's call it generously, a very undignified life, with every vice you could possibly imagine. Absolutely no meaning and nothing worthwhile in his life. And then there is an episode the Talmud describes of how he has this realization that he needs to re-examine his life, and he totally changes dramatically, cold turkey, and he calls out to heaven, first asking the heavens and earth to beseech God on his behalf, and ultimately he says, it's all up to me. He puts his head between his knees and he cries and he dies. That's the dramatic ending of this story. The Gemara concludes with an observation from the great Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Bacha Rebbe Ba'amar Yesh Kona Olamo B'Sha'achas. Rebbe cried and he said, there are those who can capture their entire life in one moment. So that is a particularly dramatic and exceptional circumstance, but it teaches you the power of a moment. We're not looking for that moment to be our last moment on earth, but the idea that moments are powerful. Yesh kona olamo b'shoa achas. And it doesn't mean 1 hour, it means one moment. That's enormously significant. So that's the first thing. On the other hand, kind of the opposite, and why the rest of the book is so important and so interesting, is that it's not enough just to have one moment in your life. Yes, it's great. Yesh kona olamo b'shoa achas. And that's certainly important and powerful. But there is another challenge. The Pasuk tells us in Tehillim, and we say it every time we put away the Sefer Torah, we speak about it when we finish the Shemoneh Esrei on the night of Yom Noraim. Every Sunday morning is the Shir Shal Yom. It's an important passage. David HaMelech asks, Mi Yale Bahar Hashem? Who will ascend to the mountain of Hashem? Umi Yakum Bimkom Kacho. And who will stay in the holy place? It's one thing to have a moment at the top of the mountain. The question is, how do you sustain those moments? Right? How do you maintain them? So if the moments are powerful and transformational, we'll take them with us. But if they're shallow and transient, then they're not going to have that lasting impact.
I think what you spoke about this morning about
yes.
Yes. Is a really important piece in terms of taking the moments and extending them and making them part of our lives and who we are and the people around us.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. The idea of having an open heart, you know, that's what they say. There's a teaching in Chassidus. It says in Shema, you should put the teachings of Hashem al levavecha, on your heart. Why do you put them on your heart? You should put them in your heart. The answer is you put them on your heart. You put them on your students and your children and your community, the fellows, the people that you know, your fellows, your friends, so that when they open their hearts, it's accessible to them. You know, it takes a moment to open your heart, and then it stays with you. So on the one hand, moments are important. On the other hand, the maintaining of those moments. So what he's talking about, what they're talking about in this book of is creating such powerful and transformational moments that they stay with us for the duration. What are we going to say?
It's always a question, is man created history, or does history create the man?
So what would you say? Does man create history, or does history create... That's right, of course. Sometimes there are moments that fall in our lap, and there are sometimes that we're called upon to create those moments. It's true. So would you say that Judaism thinks in moments, in powerful moments? Yes? Where do you see that? Okay. So the Tanakh, you're saying, is a story of moments. Let's support that. Sometimes you can read a pasuk in Tanakh and it'll say, Vatishkod ha'aretz arba'im shana. Arba'im shana. 40 years, you'll get one verse, and then you'll have another verse that's 15 or 20 verses long, one section, a whole section of Tanakh, about one episode that took 5 minutes. Well, it's because that episode was a defining moment in the history of the Jewish people. That's the difference. So, yes, we speak in moments in history. When else do we see that moments are central in the Jewish tradition? Beautiful. We're looking to create moments. So you know what we have? We have holidays. We have Sukkot. We have Pesach. We have Hanukkah. These are opportunities to create moments. Absolutely. Life cycle events. Those are moments that fall in our lap. And so on the one hand, they are pre-scheduled. On the other hand, they're opportunities. How do we make those memorable? How do we make them lasting? That's the next section. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. The Torah gives us that as a framework, as an opportunity to say, here, make a moment. Every Shabbos. Make that moment. That's right. Make that meaningful moment. You know what else you have it? Because they talk about moments in terms of markers on the calendar. There are also moments in terms of accomplishments. You know, when somebody turns 10 or 20 or 50 or 70, those are markers, those are moments. Well, we also have that in learning. When we finish a book, we finish the book of Tehillim, when you finish a chapter of Talmud. That's right. What is a siyum if not a moment? And Nachmanides, Ramban, he suggests that, you know what Sinai was? That was a moment. And it was a big moment. And that was a model for future moments. From there we learn that when you have a moment that involves spirituality and Torah learning, you know what we should do?
Celebrate.
Celebrate it. That's the source of a siyum. That they had a feast. That was certainly a moment. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And I think about it interestingly in terms of Har Sinai, because that's the model for saying we accomplished something, let's make it a moment. Right? Turning 60 is not really any different than turning 57. Right? It's not. But we've created a moment. Learning, finishing your first tractate of Talmud, that's 30 pages, let's say, 20 pages, 100 pages. It's substantively not any different than finishing 110 pages. But it's a moment. So we have a built-in tradition of making moments. Finishing all of them. There you go. So that's a moment. Every tractate is an opportunity to make a moment. So how do you make memorable moments? How do we accomplish that? What do we do? So the Heath brothers have a formula, a fascinating formula. For those who have had a chance, you'll be familiar with it. If you haven't, we'll review them. They have four stages, four aspects, four elements of things that we can do to create moments. One is elevation. The second is insight. The third is pride. And the fourth is connection. You see that as their outline here. Elevation, insight, pride, and connection. And each one of these categories reflects an idea that my rabbi from Fairlawn, Rabbi Benjamin Yudin, you know what he would say? He would say about many of these things, we had it first. We had it first. The rabbis of the Talmud figured this out long before.
It's true. We can't tell the others then.
Right. It's good for us. We get it's good to us.
Depending on how you talk to Gentiles about it, like I have a lot of friends that are Jewish. And they feel that we're so lucky.
Yes.
Just in terms of Shabbat.
Yes.
It's like you get like a vacation every week to help you. They hear me talk about what Shabbat means to me. So I don't know if they don't like it. I think it depends on how it's presented. Right.
Now it's a break from technology.
Right, absolutely.
Which is huge.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This, talking about your rabbi,
so he used to say this, we had it first. So it's kind of tongue in cheek, but we have these ideas built in. What I'd like to do is to share with you and discuss a few reflections of Jewish experiences and kind of refining these in light of the prism of Torah, where we see them come to light. In the context of elevation, the book talks about building peaks, creating these high moments. And isn't that what our tradition encourages us to do? Sometimes it's even scripted for us. Maybe you could think of one time over the course of the year where we are charged with building a moment. It's maybe, in a certain respect, one of the most important evenings of the year. And it's all about building a moment, especially for children. What is it? The Pesach Seder. Think about that. That is meant to be the moment. It's going to have the right environment. It's going to have the right smell, the right taste, the right feel. The mitzvah of simcha. Everything is prepared. We're going to have games and prizes. What could be more momentous than that? And there's a balance of coming back to it every year, so we have the familiarity of the same songs that build on each other, but we have the freshness of we haven't done it in a year. We have the new practices, the new ideas that come up. The Seder, in my mind, is, I would guess, actually, if you want to use that one example, it actually has all of these. It's got elevation, insight, pride, and connection, which is probably why it's the prototypical, right? What would you say?
It has
awful total.
Right. So that's the question. Is that just an accident that it's the most celebrated for Jews? Or is there a reason? Because people feel it's a moment. It's the moment. It's the one night that the Chachamim say you have to teach something to your kids, and that is that there is a God. Well, guess what they're going to do? They're going to pull out every stop in the playbook to make sure that it is the moment.
Yeah, but I think that many Jews who, let's say, they're not that observant,
yes,
the rest of the year, they do observe, they have a Seder, but
yes,
it's more like a dinner. It's
okay, but why does it resonate with people? How did it become that?
Because they don't know. They don't know.
Well, why don't they do that on Rosh Hashanah?
But they have a dinner.
But it's exactly because it's a moment that even if people are very far from traditional Judaism, the idea of the moment still has some residual consciousness for people. It's still out there.
I'm not saying it's good.
No, no. I'm saying the reality is that it is.
It's like your sense. People that aren't observant will still go to show up their parents' your sense. It's a sad moment, but it's a moment. So
building peaks, we do that. And the Seder is a perfect example of that. And that's why the rabbis, the way they engineered the Seder was, you don't need my approbation, but it's so brilliant. It's genius the way that it creates that moment that lasts for a whole year. The other interesting component here that it introduces in the book is called break the script. Doing something different. Right? That's, of course, what the Seder is about doing things so different so that the kids will ask. But it's interesting, the Medrash tells a story about Rabbi Akiva. He was giving a shiur to his students, and you know what happened? They started to sleep. So by the way, all rabbis should feel better based on this story, because even the students of Rabbi Akiva were sleeping on his lectures. So the students of Rabbi Akiva started to sleep, they fell asleep, and the Gemara says that he told them the following, something so interesting. As he's teaching, he says, in what merit did Esther rule over 127 provinces? In the merit of Sarah, who lived 127 years. That's what the Gemara says. What was Rabbi Akiva doing? He was breaking the script. He was saying, wait a second, you guys are falling asleep because the learning has become rote. It's become too common. We need to create a moment. So we're going to, in the middle of this year, while you guys are all schluffing, I'm going to ask a question that's so outrageous, that's so radical, that's so bizarre. It's going to wake you up. And you know what? No one's going to forget that shiur. Because in the middle of the shiur, the rabbi asked, what does Sarah and 127 years have to do with 127 provinces and Esther? So the idea of breaking the script and making something memorable is there. But it gets to, it enables us actually to reflect on and think about one of the challenges that we face, which is, how do we break the script when so often things are scripted for us? You know what comes to my mind when I think about this? Tefillah.
That's hard.
Davening.
I think it's one of the hardest things.
Right.
That I experience.
Yes.
Every time I daven.
Yes. One of the reasons it's so difficult is exactly because it is scripted. So how do you break the script and make it memorable when it's scripted?
By developing a personal relationship with Hashem.
Okay, great. So one way is developing a personal relationship with
because
Hashem.
Then it's not gross.
Exactly. But sometimes even the text and other things, this is actually part of the challenge, you know, taking a step away from davening for a second. The whole idea that Yiddishkeit has become scripted for us, it's not as spontaneous, which has many benefits. It gives us that infrastructure, but it also has the challenge of how do you break the script. Do you know that one of the challenges of the Seder, we keep coming back to it, the challenges of the Seder is that guess what? So many things that are unexpected, guess what? They're now expected. Because all the kids are told in school, now we move the table. They ruin the whole thing, right? They're not breaking the script anymore at the table because the kids know it all. No question.
They're asking the question.
That's right. Because they figured it all out. So one of the challenges that we have in Yiddishkeit is how to create moments when it's all scripted already. The Gemara has an idea, got to call it, about Tfilas Nedava, called Lachadish Badavar, to innovate in your davening, to add something personal, to make it more relevant to you at that time in a particular bracha that is in the theme of that bracha, to add something. But the idea of Lachadish Badavar is because it's not enough just to live with that existing framework. We need to build. Sometimes we have those tefillah moments. It's because it's a peak. It's because it's something that's special. One of the things that makes it special is that it has a chiddush. It breaks the script. When somebody davens at the Kotel, that's not the ordinary script of tefillah. It's totally different. When there's a, God forbid, a crisis or a celebratory moment, those moments are breaking out of the script. Then we speak to God openly and we thank Him and we beseech Him. And those are important moments because they provide us the elevation. It's the uniqueness of the elevation. So that's ingredient number one that they articulate. Let's go to ingredient number two, which is insight. These are what maybe we could call the aha moments. They tell a very interesting story, which has some very very complicated language. It's not for a rated G audience, because it's about feces, and sometimes the language in there is very particular. But they tell a very interesting story about how to get people in third world countries to use latrines. And he describes how this researcher helped people trip over the truth by picking up a hair and carrying it from one fecal matter to another, to the chicken, to the neighbors, to the... And then people, they saw it and they had that aha moment. They just figured it out. They just realized it. And that's memorable. You know what's such a beautiful memory? You know what's a beautiful moment? When you go to a class, when you go to a shiur, when you go to a lecture, and the teacher lays it out for you, the whole discussion, the whole concept, the whole idea, and all of a sudden you just say, aha. It just clicks. That shiur becomes a memorable moment. Because it just registered. I could be learning for a year or 2 years or 5 years, but it's that aha that I finally figured it out. And by the way, it's usually not the person telling you what to do. It's the person laying it out for you to the point where you say, oh, now I figured it out. I tripped over the truth. Someone told me, who's older than I am, who is a student of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, Zichrono Levracha, one of the great Gaon and one of the great Gedolim of our generation. And he was a master of so many vast arenas of Torah. And at the end of the day, he called himself a Malamed, a teacher. If you were to ask him, and he wrote this in many letters, he's a Malamed, a teacher. So this person told me that going to Rav Soloveitchik's shiur, you know what was so brilliant about it? Was that he would take a complex topic, a vast, nuanced, deep issue. He would ask questions and develop approaches, and ultimately, at the end, you would come away saying, that's so simple, why didn't I think of that myself? It just all made sense. It was just an aha moment, like, I got it. Right? That is the mark of a great teacher. That the student, the pupil, draws it out, figures it out, develops it on their own. There's that aha moment. That's a moment. That's tripping over the truth. That's a chiddush that you'll remember. That's a shir that you'll remember. That's a takeaway lesson that miyakum b'mkom kacho. You'll take it with you because there is that aha, that tripping over the truth. We can create those moments when we educate. That's one. But the other, they talk about this idea called stretch for insight. Mentors, good mentors, helpful mentors, encourage their mentees and push them to stretch for something bigger, to stretch for something greater, to look beyond. Isn't that what the Torah looks for us? When do we feel accomplished? When we stretch, when we move beyond. That's right, you should steig. I would say in Hebrew, I would take that even further, yes. Oftentimes in the world of moral and ethical development, there's an idea called bikush. To be a mevakesh. To be a searcher. To be someone who's searching and striving and seeking greater heights.
Wait, stretching?
Sometimes a chumrah is stretching. So it depends if the chumrah is appropriate and how it fits in their overall avodas Hashem. But certainly, a particular chumrah could be a manifestation. That's right. That's right. So a chumrah could be an example of a stretch. But isn't that an important point to come back to in our avodas Hashem? We are looking in our relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be that mevakesh, to take that stretch, to take that little step forward.
I think that the scholars do.
Scholars do that?
I think so.
And so do everyday folks.
I don't know how many times Rabbi Feinstein went to class, but he practiced it by heart, so he wasn't.
Okay.
He's got a new insight. Particular parts every time he went through it. That was, I think, he stretched. He sort of made the assumption that there's more time.
Okay, yes. So Rabbi Feinstein was certainly pushing himself and stretching. Let me ask you a question. Personal question. 20 years ago, did you think you could learn all of Shas?
No.
You didn't, right? You didn't think you could learn all of Shas. And then what happened? You decided one day, I'm going to stretch, right?
Mm-hmm.
What day was that? When was that?
7 3/4 years ago. Makos, I started with Makos.
You started Makos. Did you think you were going to finish all of Shas?
No. I mean, they said 7.5 years. I mean, they could have said 1,000,000 years.
That's exactly it, right? They could have said 1,000,000 years.
Right.
So you don't have to just look for a Moshe Feinstein. You stretch, right?
A long ways to go.
It's a good start, though. Yeah.
You finished all of Shas. You finished all of Shas.
I have to say, I can't say I know all of Shas.
That's okay.
Next, Dan and Bob. Learning every morning, correct?
Right.
That's how you did it. Except for, I guess, every day, right? 7 days a week.
You don't do it on Shabbat. On Sunday,
you
Sunday, we have a double.
Oh, my God. Okay,
so 7.5 years.
5:40.
5:40 in the morning?
Yeah.
5:40 in the morning.
Our teacher's husband we go to a class, a few of us ladies go to a class on Monday morning, and our teacher's husband gets up and has a class, Daffioli, every morning at 4:30 a.m.
So that's a stretch.
That's a total stretch.
Right, that's a big stretch you did. Call it a boat. That's right. My dad now, he does it in the evening. Growing up, my dad was out every morning at 5:30 in the morning. We could drive home from Cleveland at 1:30 in the morning, pulling the driveway in the station wagon. Next morning, we were all sleeping, 5:30. He was in the shul with the Gemara. He was there. Oh, yeah. And that left an impression on us kids, even though we never were up that early. But we know he was. We knew he was up at that hour. Of course. So, talking about creating insight, well, these are opportunities when someone comes to a Siyum on all of Shas. Did you make a Siyum? Right? You made a Siyum. Great.
In Israel.
Right? That's amazing.
In Israel.
So that's a moment. That is a moment. You will always remember. You finished us. How did that happen? Because you stretched.
We're so proud
of you.
Amazing. Amazing.
That is amazing.
George, the famous George, right?
George.
Right? You know.
But our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughter is George.
That's her name?
Jordana.
Oh, calls her George.
Right. So that's unbelievable. Baruch Hashem. That's insight. All right, let's get to the other half before everybody falls asleep. Pride. Moments of pride. You know that in the end of Sefer Devarim, there is a proclamation. It's called Vidui Maaser. We call it Vidui Maaser, the Mishnah is the Gemara. What is Vidui Maaser?
A person.
Right. You confess about the tithes. What does it mean, tithe confession? Well, at the end of the agricultural cycle, at the end of 3 years and then the end of 6 years, those are 2-3 year cycles before the Shemitah, you take stock to make sure you gave all the tithes appropriately. And you have to make a declaration. You have to stand up and look yourself in the mirror and say, "Biarti haKodesh min habayis, I removed the sanctified foods. Lo achalti ba'oni, I disposed of it correctly. I didn't eat it when I was in a state of aninus, acute mourning. I didn't give it to deceased. I didn't eat it when I was tamei. Asisi kachol asher tzivisani. God, I did it all." Is that interesting that it's referred to as Vidui Maaser? The confession of the tithes? What did I just say? I just described all the things that I did right. All the things that I did well. Amazing. So I heard the name of Rav Soloveitchik. It's because when we think about ourselves, we need to be honest. We need to be honest about Vidui, things that we didn't do right, and the things that we did. The Vidui and the things that we did. That vidui is a point of pride. We create meaning and moments through that pride. The Torah doesn't want to look at ourselves like dirt. The Torah wants us to say, I did something and I did it well. I should feel good about it. You need to stop and reflect on what we did well and celebrate that. You finish Shas, should be proud of it. Grandchild calls you on the phone. It's a point of pride. Not arrogance. It comes from God, but it's a point of pride. That is an important component. But it's not just feeling pride, it's giving pride, recognizing others. You know what the mission says in Perkei Avos? Ezehu mechubad, who is honored? Hamachayav es abrios, someone who honors others. You want to feel a sense of pride. You want to feel good about yourself. In truth, don't knock somebody else down.
Don't you feel in the workplace that people are not confident? Employees are kind of hard
working. That is exactly... That's exactly what they're...
I'm not in the workforce anymore, but I was.
That is exactly what the book is about. The book is about saying, wait a second, let's recognize where are the businesses that people are giving each other recognition. And that's what they do. They find these case studies, right? Any of them jump out at you? Any of them interesting?
The thing that stayed on my mind was that Magic Castle Hotel.
Yes. Yes.
My kids happen to be going in June, so of course that's all they talk about. But I was in the business world in sales and marketing until recently.
Yes.
And that example of the hotline to get the red phone.
The popsicle phone.
Popsicle phone. I mean, it's marketing genius.
Yep.
And you could do your laundry for free. Well, you know, how much does that cost? I mean, this little sort of nothing of a hotel winds up charging the same thing as a Marriott or a Westin.
Yep.
And everybody's really happy there because
amazing.
Of all these little cute things
exactly.
that they do.
Mm-hmm. And recognizing, and it's becoming, I think, more common, at least the way that you know they're talking about it and the way that you see it out there. You see sometimes, and you go into a supermarket, employee of the month. You know, you open the, I don't know, the Hemispheres magazine on United Airlines, and they have, this is the employee that we're recommending this month, or we're recognizing, or Southwest, this is our team member of the month, because people understand that to create moments, you give recognition. They also talk about multiplying milestones and practicing courage. Well, what is courage? A few things. One of the issues they bring out is the idea of completion. You know what distinguishes some from others? The ability to finish the job. To see something through. We have a question in Achronim. If you eat a half a kazayis of matzah, is that worth anything? It's not clear. It's a big discussion in Achronim. You know why? Because in Judaism, there's something called a shir, a fixed amount. You want to get the mitzvah of matzah? You have to eat a kazayis, an olive worth. And less than that, it's not adequate. You got to get to the finish line. There's a story in here about this woman, Sarah Blakely, who founded a company called Spanx, about how she persevered until she finally crossed the finish line. They talk about in the book how a lot of people have many great ideas, but they don't persevere to get across the finish line. If something is just a chatzi shir, it's just a half-baked idea, that's not enough. You want to create a moment? You want to get to that level of sustained achievement? You got to persevere. You got to be courageous in finishing the job. It can't just be a chatzi shir. You know, you can have a mikveh that has 39 sa'a, measures of water in it, but you know what? It's not valid. It's not a mikveh at all. It's not half a mikveh. It's not a mikveh at all. So the idea of finishing the job, that also gives us a sense of pride. When we look back and we say, we finished Shas, we finished the project, we finished the paper, we finished that which we set out for us, that gives us that feeling of pride. And that's really why Hashem created the world, so to speak. He didn't want to give us a free handout just to say, here's your Olam Haba. He wanted to give us an opportunity to earn it. And so we earn our keep by finishing the job, not just having a chatzi shir, but having that sense of pride, of the courage to finish and to share with others. One last point, and then we'll conclude. Connection. Create shared meanings, deepen time, deepen ties. One thing that creates moments, he says, are shared experiences. You know, it's interesting. It's hard to evoke emotions when you're alone. Laughter. You ever read a humorous book by yourself? Right? It's not the same thing as reading it with somebody else. sharing a joke with someone else is not the same thing as watching it by yourself. The emotional impact and the feeling of connection to other people creates moments. Is it surprising then that Chazal said, you know how to daven, you want to create a davening moment? Do it in a shul. Have tefillah b'tzibur. Create connections with others. There's a beautiful insight from Anatoly Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Netziv. You know what the Netziv says? He says, you want to have a Karban Torah Thanksgiving? You're going to have 40 loaves. 40 loaves? How can you finish 40 loaves? Because you're going to bring your friends and family. You're going to have that gratitude in the context of others. So you're going to create that moment of gratitude. You're going to get up and give your thank you speech with all of your friends and your family there. The Jewish people in general, the idea of coming together as a nation is something we are supposed to do 3 times a year on the Shalosh Regalim. The idea of connecting with each other, of Am Yisrael, of seeing ourselves as one organism.
Or even davening only with a minyan.
Absolutely. It transforms the experience from being solitary to communal. Even though the davening is still personal, it's only my tefillah, no one else hears me. But it's in the context that creates a connection with others. So many of the things that we do, even though they are individual mitzvos, they are done in connection with other people. The Korban Pesach, it's an individual's korban, but it's brought as part of community. And the whole concept of chesed is obviously, it's a beautiful moment, you can create that moment, but that chesed usually comes in connection to others. The connection, becoming a baal chesed, looking out for opportunities to help others, to connect, to reach out, that creates incredible amount of meaning. So he talks about, they talk about the elevation, the insight, the pride, and the connection. All of these things create those defining moments. Ultimately, we are looking for moments, Miyala Bahar Hashem. We want to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with godliness. And we want to stay there, Miyakum Emkom Kadsho. What's amazing that we see is that our tradition, Chachamim, our halacha, our minhagim, they give us these opportunities to create moments of connection to Hashem that can last us throughout our entire life. So I thank you for joining me, and I look forward to future evenings.